KQE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM present The Talk of Emporia, bringing you local issues, topics, and events of the day.
And we welcome you into the Talk of Emporia this Friday morning. Tegan Trahoon, your host here today, being brought to you in part by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. Celebrate Valentine's Day at Bobby D's. You'll both get a dinner, salad, 12-ounce ribeye steak, grilled shrimp, skewer, and baked potato, along with dessert, all for just $75. Also by Newman Regional Health, quality health care close to home. That's Newman Regional Health. Well, today on the Talk of Emporia, we are happy to be joined over the KVOE Sutherland studio line by none other than the president of the board of Southwick House. We have Jeremy Dorsey joining us. Jeremy, good morning.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Well, we are happy to have you here as there is a lot of excitement surrounding Southwick. Of course, a big celebration coming up this weekend. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But I think the big question on everyone's minds right now is, how is the capital campaign going for the new transitional housing facility?
You know, we are still going strong. We are about $300,000, maybe a little under that, away from hitting our goal. So, I mean, we're kind of right on the cusp. We're almost at the very end, and we've got a really good group of volunteers who are working hard to raise money and visit with people and advocate for us, and they've done an incredible job. So we're getting closer every day.
Jeremy, remind folks who maybe aren't aware of exactly what the goal is.
So we have to raise well over $2 million to be able to construct and build the Southwick House facility, which we've designed. It'll be about a 9,000-square-foot facility with about 15 rooms for people in need of housing, as well as some rooms for people who have children that are a little bit larger and more self-contained. So our goal is to restore the transitional housing services that our community and the surrounding community lost when Plum Place dissolved. The Plum Mansion went into private ownership. So we're just trying to bring those services back.
So looking at this, you know, you mentioned just a little over $2 million. And for those, again, who aren't aware, when did you all launch this campaign exactly?
Back when COVID was still a thing. It was a long time back. I remember when the steering committee first met to figure out what we were going to do after Plum Place dissolved. It was still in 2021. So some of the board members now for Southwick House, which is Plum Place Reconstituted, have been involved in this 3, 4, almost 5 years. The capital campaign really started within the last 12 months, and so we have generated a significant amount of money, a significant amount of grant funding, and it has been a whirlwind experience, but we're pretty satisfied and amazed that we're getting closer.
Well, see, that was the thing I really wanted to talk about, was the fact that I know you guys kind of launched this behind closed doors several years ago, but really it's ramped up here over the last year. Heading into this campaign and looking at the goal that you had, have you been surprised by how fast it's really caught traction and by how much support you've generated here in just a few short months? I mean, I don't even know if it's been fully 12 months yet, but I mean, really, it's gone very quickly and it's gone very well.
It has, and it's kind of shocking every day, especially for some of us board members and volunteers who've been a part of this since the beginning, right? It's sort of like, you know, when the dog
gets
to that point of capturing the car.
I do apologize. I think we're losing you just a little bit there. But you mentioned a little bit shocking here, but given the fact that these services had been around for over 100 years, and there was a lot of people calling for something like this when Plum Place's dissolution was first announced, I mean, is it kind of shocking and kind of not shocking at the same time? Kind of a six for one, half dozen in the other?
You know, it's surprising, but it also, when you think about it, it doesn't totally surprise me. I mean, when it happens and it all comes together, of course, that's like kind of surprising, like I said, a whirlwind. But having been involved in this long enough now, having been talking to the people in our community, you know, I guess I shouldn't be surprised because now I know how engaged, generous Emporia and the surrounding communities and our funding partners are.
Absolutely. Jeremy, another big question on that too is, how have you kind of gone about these partnerships? Have they come to you? Have you gone to them? What has kind of been the line of communication? Who's initiating it?
So when we had Susan Brinkman working for us as an executive director, she really was our unicorn. She was a barracuda when it came to work. She submitted grant applications. She identified funding sources, the Jones Trust, for instance. big sources like that, right, as well as smaller ones, smaller organizations, maybe it was the Lions or something else. And then once she's moved on and now we're in transition until we hire a new executive director, you know, our capital campaign, which really consists of about three volunteers, they have been the folks who have been identifying individuals, coming to them, meeting with them, advocating for us, educating them about what we're doing and the need for what we're doing and why we're doing it. So, you know, we have had some amazing women who have been driving this boat for us, and I couldn't be more proud of them.
Well, and of course, Southwick getting a lot of visibility here in the last couple of years. Again, Southwick has only really been a known entity for, I would say, maybe a little over 2.5 years, if maybe I'm highballing there a little bit.
That's about right. That's about right.
Do you think, though, obviously that visibility, you know, it came out of people talking about Plum Place, what are we going to do? You know, I mean, it doesn't seem like it took a lot for you to get that visibility, but the traction that's come with it, taking over the Turkey Day Dash, having that extra visibility, I mean, do you think that's really helped your efforts as well, being out in the community and very, very visible in the last several years?
Absolutely. You know, we wanted very much to have a presence and to be available and to interact with folks, because until we have a shelter, right, people can't really see our work, right, because that's what we're trying to build. So we wanted to make sure that we were engaging the community, that we kept some traditions alive, like the Turkey Day Dash. And, you know, with respect to the awareness people have of us, I think it was kind of a little daunting at first because Plum Place went under, right? And there was a lot of negativity around that, and we had to come out of that and restore and build trust in the community. You know, we've had people who've been asked to donate, and they won't because they weren't comfortable with how Plum Place, when it was Plum Place, dealt with their money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some trust and rebuild some partnership and connection with the community. And I think we've come a long way from it.
Well, and also I think the donation of the land there on East Logan, I believe 115 East Logan, if my memory serves me correctly, where this new facility is going to be built, that was donated, of course, to Southwick or handed off to Southwick. How much do you think that really helped you all be able to focus more attention on just getting the money for the facility as opposed to having to find land, develop that land, get everything kind of in motion before you could really start looking towards actual structures?
You know, that was our first big hurdle as a group, was finding the place that we're going to build this shelter, right? That was our first boss fight, so to speak. And we looked at different properties all throughout the community, different vacant properties, properties that might need to have been demolished and torn down, and then trying to match where that is in relation to where community services and supports are, right? You can build a great shelter out by the Jones Aquatic Center, but maybe that's not a conducive place to live and too far away, right? So when we got the property on Logan, we had a very mutual beneficial transaction, gifting for lack of a better term, and that gave us an anchor, right? We can point there to our donors, we can point there to our grant partners and say, this is where it's going to happen. And also, it's a beautiful property. It looks like a place that people could go to and get healthy and heal and get back on their feet, right? It's got greenery around it, it's really pleasant to look at, and there's so much space to be able to build what we're building now. And then maybe decades from now, maybe Southwick House has to build more, right? Maybe they extend and grow. And so there's space to grow, and it's been a blessing.
Safe to say that first hurdle, you got a big big assist over that one.
Yeah, definitely made it more real, you know, and made it more possible and less pie in the sky and more attainable. And every day we're just getting closer to it being a reality.
I also do need to point out, I really appreciated the first boss fight reference there, my fellow nerd. I appreciate you for making that one. I'm sure a lot of people are going, huh? But no, that was well said. Jeremy, real quick before we go to our first break, if people do want to continue to donate and support this cause, how can they go about doing that? You know, maybe they don't have thousands of dollars to give, but, you know, if they want to donate a couple dollars here, you know, or even volunteer time, how can they go about doing it?
Well, the easiest way would be to go to our website, southwickhouse.org. There's a donate button on there, and you can find information, contact information, and the idea of what we would do if we had the shelter built, when we get it built, and the services and community that we're going to serve. But I'd also remind folks that this Sunday, from about 2 to 5 p.m., there's going to be an open house at the former Plum Mansion. The owner, Chris Stanley, is doing an open house to celebrate Founders Day. And so Southwick House is going to be tabling there while people can come in, see the renovations, hear a live band.
Jeremy, I think we're losing you again here a little bit, so we'll let you get resituated here. We'll go to our first break, come back. I want to talk a little bit more about the Founders Day celebration, and also maybe get an update on the search for a new executive director here. So we'll let you get resituated. We'll take a quick time out. We'll be right back with more Talk of Emporia here today, brought to you in part, as always, by Newman Regional Health and Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue.
Heart disease often develops silently. Many of the most serious risk factors, like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and elevated blood sugar, show no outward symptoms at all. Understanding your risk is the first step toward prevention. Newman Regional Health Medical Partners Cardiology are your local experts for all your heart health needs. A simple conversation with your primary care doctor can make all the difference. Call Newman Regional Health, 620-343-2376.
Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue is open on Sundays, a perfect day for church groups, life groups, family, and friends to gather for some great-tasting barbecue. Just call ahead if you need a large table. Enjoy their full menu along with some special menu items just for Sundays. Bobby D's also caters on Sundays. Visit their Facebook or website each week for the Sunday specials. Dine in or carry out. They look forward to seeing you this Sunday at Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue in downtown Emporia.
Good morning, Chuck Samples, KVUE News. Local news headlines today brought to you by Tracy Edwards and Jake Scott, Platinum Financial Solutions, Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC. Enrollment period begins Monday for the USDA's Farmer Bridge Assistance Program. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins says that you can get pre-filled applications through login.gov. If you filled out your crop acreage reports shortly after the program was unveiled late last year, or you can get pre-filled applications through the Farm Service Agency county offices nearby. Jury scams becoming a commonplace issue nationwide. There's another circulation happening locally, according to the sheriff's office. It also says that legitimate law enforcement entities will never call to demand payment as a way to avoid arrest, as this scam is demanding. And Lyon County's new canine getting new equipment through Vested Interest in Canines Incorporated. Details at 12:05 today. Headlines brought to you by Tracy Edwards and Jake Scott, Platinum Financial Solutions, Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC.
Proud to be a part of Emporia, the founding city of Veterans Day.
To all veterans of the United States of America.
14 KVOE, 96.9 FM.
America thanks you for your service.
Live and local. You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
Back on the Talk of Emporia this Friday morning, Tegan Trahoon joined over the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line by Board President of Southwick House, Jeremy Dorsey, as we were talking about the capital campaign, which has gained a lot of steam over the last 11 to 12 months, just about $300,000 away from the goal of bringing a new 9,000-square-foot transitional housing facility here to Emporia to help restore some of the resources lost after the closing of Plum Place and its current, or its past iteration, I should say, now, of course, under private ownership. But, Jeremy, you mentioned in the first segment, you know, Susan Brinkman, the unicorn that she was in really helping you get to this point in terms of fundraising. Obviously, Susan announced just a few months ago she will be stepping down, or has stepped down now, from that position. First and foremost, can we just talk a little bit about, you know, what she has done for Southwick, aside from what you said earlier, obviously, with the fundraising side, but really how she helped kind of get it up on the foundations of where it is today, and, you know, maybe the tone she set for whoever comes in and fills that position in the future.
Right. So hopefully you all can hear me a little bit better now.
We can.
But Susan had the right set of skills and the skill set and the experience that we needed when we needed her. We needed not just someone who could fundraise and generate money, but someone who could help put, for lack of a better phrase, a business plan together, right? You're going to build a shelter. You're going to have to operate. You're going to have money coming in because you got expenses going out. Are you going to be self-sustainable and self-propelling in the future, right? And so she helped us to do more than just fundraising. She helped us put our policies together, to put our professionalism together, to identify what did and didn't work for our various funding sources. Sometimes there's, you know, requirements for the money you have, and the things we may have set out to want to do to begin with weren't really realistic once we had some more information and we had someone who could really take us, a volunteer board, through the process. You know, I don't think for a second that if we did not have Susan, that if we hadn't had Susan, that we would be here. I think that the organization probably would have dissolved, sent its money to SOS and other charities, and, you know, that piece of Carrie Plum's legacy would have ended. But we were fortunate that wasn't the case.
She put the organize in organization.
She did. She did. She whipped us into shape. And, you know, she put us on a good foundation for where we're going forward.
So now looking ahead here, you mentioned Susan has moved on, obviously, to her new role in Kansas City. So I know the board is taking up a lot of the day-to-day duties, you know, kind of sharing those between each other. Of course, that's not sustainable forever. And I know you're searching for a new executive director. You told me shortly after Susan made her announcement, I said a few months ago, I apologize, I believe it was like right at the start of January last month. It just feels like it's been so long since. But she obviously leaves a huge impact, and you mentioned, you know, you got to pick up that slack here, kind of move forward. And February, this month, was going to be a very, very brisk, quick month in trying to find the person who could fill those shoes or at least attempt to. Where are you all at in this search process in trying to get a new executive director in-house and ready to go?
So we put out the job posting, we put out a press release, you know, the Gazette and KVO, we gave us some publicity, and we have interviewed someone. Nothing's finalized yet, but I think in the very near future we're going to have an announcement. So what I would let the community know is that I think we're not going to be without an executive director for much longer. I can say right now, so stay tuned.
Can I ask, you mentioned you interviewed someone. Did you have multiple applicants? Did you have just one? I mean, how did that process go?
You know, it was a little daunting, right? Because is anyone going to apply? Is someone going to apply? We had some qualified and capable persons who expressed interest. And I can say we had a very good interview with someone. And I think we're going to have a really positive and awesome announcement in the near future.
So definitely there was some interest, though, from multiple individuals.
There was, and, you know, we had also reached out to some folks.
Oh, we're losing you there again, Jeremy. I'll let you get reset there. You mentioned reached out to several people. I mean, were you focusing on somebody local, or were you looking for anyone from anywhere that could bring the right skill set? I mean, where did the board really focus its attentions with this search?
Right, so we focused probably in our immediate community. We wanted to ideally have someone who knew the lay of the land, who knew the fundraising sources, who knew the different partners and partnerships and who had some experience, but we weren't totally foreclosed to a transplant, right, to someone who wanted to come to the community, move, relocate, and take the next step in their career. You know, I will say that we did reach out to various community partners and leaders and just ask them, who in our community would have the skill set that we're looking for? Who is working in nonprofit status or something similar to Southwick House? And maybe would be a good person to take that next step in their career. And so we got some really good references, you know, for various individuals. And I reached out to several of them. Some of them were just flattered but declined. Some of them weren't interested. Some of them were.
Fair enough. I appreciate that. So you mentioned an announcement hopefully coming soon. So are you hoping to have this new person installed by the end of this month, start of next month? I mean, what's the timeline you guys are looking at, or are you at liberty to say?
Well, I'm not at liberty to say when a hypothetical person may be starting their employment, but I think you're probably going to get an email from me next week at some point.
I can't say, but next week.
Yeah, it's being a little coy, right? You're
yeah.
Between the lines,
I think,
you know? I'm not going to take all the wind out of the sails of that one. You know, I'm going to save it.
I got to say, you know, I love you, my friend. I do very much, but you need to look up the definition of the term coy. I say that with love, but no, that is exciting though. And I mean, again, I like that you point out though that, you know, you did focus your attentions mainly here on the local community, because this is an organization that is continuing services that were known for over 100 years. I mean, I got to imagine you could teach somebody that, but having somebody, a candidate who understands that impact here in the community and maybe carries a little extra passion rather than a transplant, no offense to anyone who has been a transplant here, we have some great ones, but having that initial understanding and passion, that has to be a huge plus.
It is. And, you know, also, whether you're a transplant or not, a local person or not, but knowing the type of people that we're going to be serving, learn about poverty and crisis. It's another thing to have lived experience where you're seeing people in it and you've dealt with that before you get into a position like this where you're going to be dealing with it all the time.
Well, not to mention, you talk about the people that you know, you're going to be serving. Obviously, you know, we don't have the worst situations of certain scenarios as opposed to maybe nationwide, but they are very, very prominent in our community because it's happening in our community. And having the people who maybe have a known face, that helps people open up to them more and want to seek help a little bit more.
Absolutely. But, you know, it's absolutely, but it's important to remember too that, you know, people who experience homelessness, we often just think it's people who are chronically homeless, mentally ill, drug addicted, dealing with crime. But it's also people who just have, and Susan would say it like this, a triggering event, right? They lost their job unexpectedly. Tyson closed. Now they don't have work, and all the other jobs got filled because there's an overabundance of people looking for work. Or they got behind on their rent. They had a medical issue. They got in medical debt. They're having collections and garnishments eating their income every pay period, and they can't make their ends meet. You know, Susan, about 2 or 3 times a week, she would get emails, phone calls, and messages on social media from people looking for shelter and experiencing those issues. And oftentimes it was just people who would almost be apologetic, almost embarrassed. I'm 50 years old. I've worked as a CNA. I've never not worked. I lost my job. I don't know where I'm going next week. And I mean, it's more than just what we kind of think is the stereotypical person experiencing homelessness. It could be any one of us, you know, but by the grace of God, go I.
Well, I think another thing, too, is I like that you bring up, you know, the stigmas we have, because I can't tell you how many times I've written a story about resources and things like that, and people have commented and, you know, made comments like, you know, just get a job or something like that. I think it's important to note that a lot of the people that, who need the most help are people that are highly capable. Unfortunately, it's just sometimes things don't work out in your favor, whether, as Susan would say, it's a triggering event. You lose a job. I mean, you could be the best at what you do, but, you know, things happen. And it's not that you're unmotivated. It's just multiple things happened at one time that were out of your control.
Absolutely. It's just the right conflux of events, and you could be someone experiencing domestic violence, unemployment, a mental health episode, a psychotic break you've never dealt with in decades of your life, right? So it could happen to you. It could happen to me. It could happen to everyone. You know, there was a very intelligent woman who once said something to the effect of, treat every stranger you meet as if they are an angel, because for all you know, they could be Christ come again. Hmm. Right? And that always stuck with me, you know? So we have to have compassion for people, whatever their experiences are, and realize it's not always going to be the people we think.
Hmm. That's a great point. Jeremy, I appreciate the insight there. We're going to go ahead and take our final break on the Talk of Emporia. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more specifically about the upcoming activities on Sunday at the Regal Plum. Giving a little bit of a teaser earlier here in this program, we'll go into the more finer details here shortly. Again, you're listening to the Talk of Emporia, being brought to you in part by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue and Newman Regional Health.
Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue is open on Sundays, a perfect day for church groups, life groups, family, and friends to gather for some great-tasting barbecue. Just call ahead if you need a large table. Enjoy their full menu along with some special menu items just for Sundays. Bobby D's also caters on Sundays. Visit their Facebook or website each week for the Sunday specials. Dine in or carry out. They look forward to seeing you this Sunday at Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue in downtown Emporia.
I'm Dr. Michael Loy with Newman Regional Health Cardiology. February is Heart Month, and it's a perfect time to check in with yourself. Stress doesn't just affect your mood, it affects your heart also. Simple habits can help. Take a moment to breathe, eat less, and move more. And remember, understanding your heart health starts with a conversation. Know your numbers, your blood pressure, your cholesterol, and your blood sugar. Reach out to your doctor and take a step toward a healthier heart. Call 620-343-2376.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Chuck Sievertson. A massive legal blow. The Supreme Court tells the White House, no, you can't. A 6-3 ruling invalidating almost all of the tariffs President Trump has based his foreign and economic policies on which he has based most of his leverage with other countries. ABC News national correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
The court's bottom line is that the president cannot impose tariffs on his own, that Congress has to specifically authorize him to do it. The administration had argued that a 1977 law gave the president the power, but Chief Justice John Roberts, the court's three liberals, and two of Trump's own appointees said, no, it doesn't. The ruling invalidates the reciprocal tariffs the president has imposed under that law, and it could result in demands for more than $140 billion in refunds by importers who've paid the duties.
Justices Alito, Thomas, and Kavanaugh dissented. Experts say it's likely any refunds of tariffs would not go back to consumers. This is ABC News.
Win three large Gambino pizzas in the At Work Network. Register today at KVOE.com/at work. KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. Live, win free pizza and local. You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
And we are back here on the Talk of Emporia. Tegan Trahoon, of course, joined over the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line by Jeremy Dorsey, Board President of Southwick House. A lot of information shared here today. We'll have some more of that available for reading on our website here, hopefully later today and through the weekend. So a lot of information coming out, a lot of excitement surrounding Southwick. And speaking of excitement, an exciting event coming up on Sunday, as we have previewed here a couple times on our airwaves. Of course, Founders Day activities at the Regal Plum, formerly Plum Place, there on the main drag here in Emporia. And Jeremy, let people know, when exactly will this be taking place and what can they expect here with Founders Day?
Yeah, it'll be this Sunday. Chris Stanley, the owner now of the Regal Plum, formerly Plum, the Plum Mansion, Plum Place, she loves to celebrate Founders Day and celebrate Emporia history. And so I think this may be the second time that she's done this, and she invited us there the last time. She's going to do an open house. So this Sunday, you can come if you've never been to the Regal Plum, if you've never seen the inside of it and want to see what the renovations look like and everything she's done. You can come from 2 to 5 p.m. this Sunday. Southwick House will be there to table, meet the community, educate people about what we're doing. Of course, we'll take your money. there will also be, I think Miss Stanley is going to have a live band there, some beverages, refreshments. And honestly, it is just the most charming, incredible building in Emporia. And it's such a huge part of our history. And we're really lucky that Miss Stanley got that property, that she's renovated it, that she's made it a event space. You can do Airbnbs there, weddings, conferences, meetings, and it's just charming. If you've never had the opportunity to be there, this is your opportunity to go walk through and just see a piece of history.
Jeremy, I've said this before, if your law career doesn't work out at some point, I think you have a great career in marketing, because that was one heck of a sales pitch right there. That was pretty good.
Well, you know, she's been a phenomenal partner and supporter for Southwick House. You know, she would let us meet there at times and stuff, and just anything we need from her, she'll do for us. And I will tell you, if you need to send someone to an Airbnb, rent a space for a wedding, have a party, a holiday party, a winter party, Sweet 16, quinceañera, there is no one in our community who does hospitality like Chris Stanley.
Well, I think another big thing here is, how important has that support from her been? You mentioned she's been a big champion for you guys. Of course, Plum Place, the predecessor to Southwick. And, I mean, having her behind you and allowing you to use this space, and also using that space to pay tribute to your predecessor of Plum Place, that has to have also been very helpful in the traction you've gained here with the campaign over the last year and a half.
Absolutely. And, you know, that property and that place and what it's been, what it has been, and what it's meant for us and what it did for people, you know, it's an anchor space for our organization, even though we're not based in that home and that residence anymore. You know, we're here to try and keep Carrie Plum's mission of helping women alive, keep it thriving here in our community. And it was just, we're very fortunate that that building in that space has been preserved by someone who's keeping a good relationship with that mission.
I think another big question is celebrating the Founders Day. Obviously, you're no longer Plum Place, but you know, the question I've always had is, why is it so important to continue to look to the past while you're building towards the future?
Well, we've got to acknowledge where we came from and build upon our foundation while recognizing that we can grow and become something more. You know, the original Plum Place only served women. No children could be there, and part of that was because One, I think there were some issues with how the house was built and some safety and ordinance stuff. Probably something to do with lead paint, right? But also, it wasn't the most conducive space to have little ones running around. If you've been in there, right, there's a lot of stairs. It's just huge. You know, so when we decided to build a new shelter, we decided that we're not just going to replicate what we did in the past and just serve only women. It was really important to us that we have the opportunity now to build and offer more than we could previously. So we have space for women and children, for a father and children, right? And we have space for more than just what Plum Place could serve. So, you know, we don't totally look to the past, but we want to honor it, and we want to grow and be able to do more than what we had been able to do previously.
Basically, honoring the past while looking towards the future.
Yep.
I appreciate that. Again, Jeremy, remind folks what time this will take place. And you mentioned, obviously, Southwick will happily take any money, but is there a cost to attend these activities?
I don't believe so, no. I believe it's just a free open house. It's just going to be fun to walk through and see the property. It's this Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m., and we hope to see the community there.
And, of course, Southwick, as he mentioned, will be tabling there. What kind of information can people expect from your table just on plans for the new transitional housing facility so they can get a better idea? Obviously, you know, there's been a lot of press and a lot of media attention surrounding it, but what opportunities will they have to actually see the true potential of what this facility could be?
Well, we actually have a little mock building that we put up and put together, and some maps and stuff, so you can actually see what the property is going to look like, the rooms, the structure of it. You're going to have the opportunity to just ask us any questions. You know, we've had people ask us questions about policies. How are you going to deal with this issue or that issue? How are you going to deal with safety? What happens if there's someone who's overstaying or unsafe? How do you get rid of them, right? How do you evict them? How does that process work? And so this is just going to be a good opportunity for the community to visit with us, learn about what we're doing, and ask us anything they want to. And, of course, give us their money.
Keep going back to that. You also mentioned a few times you've called, of course, Plum Place an anchor space. You mentioned that Susan Brinkman, the now former executive director, was an anchor for the organization. How much of an anchor do you think that scaled-down building model will be in people being able to see something tangible and see, okay, this is really a actual thing happening and we can see what it's going to look like. Now I want to get involved.
Right. So, you know, I think it's pretty fair to say that people are going to express probably a little bit more interest in volunteering when we're upright and vertical, right? When we're actually building a building and it's not something that we're striving to do and we are finally the dog that caught the car. What I will say is that we want to be certain, though, that what we build here and what we create can survive for the next 100 years, since we already had 100 years of service, right? And that was important to us, too, that we build a building, that we build a property that is designed to thrive for the next 100 years. That was actually one of the biggest issues for the original Plum Place finance, for the original Plum Place's financial solvency, was that that building was old. It was requiring a lot of work, a lot of maintenance, and frankly, needed more money than that organization could put in probably eventually. And so we want to make sure that we're building something that will last the test of time and that will be here long after Jeremy Dorsey is done with Southwick House, right?
Sure. Absolutely. Well, I think a big congratulations to all of you and what you've managed to accomplish in really a short time. I know you mentioned, you know, plans for this started back in 2020, but even then, that's 6 years. And while that seems like a long time, 6 years to basically rebuild something from the ground up out of the ashes of something that had stood for 100 years, I don't think you all receive enough credit for exactly how huge of an undertaking that is and how far you've managed to come. And, you know, if Susan happens to be listening, which I doubt she is just because she's so busy with everything, but if Susan does happen to be listening, just a huge round of applause to her, because she really took on a monumental task in being the executive director here, again, building something out of the ashes of a 100-plus year institution, and did it so well. Really, just hats off to all of you, and we wish you absolutely nothing but the best of luck going forward here. As I don't even think you need luck at this point, because it seems like you guys have so much backing and support.
Well, you know, we've got some determination and some grit. But as I look back on it, you know, I think to myself, part of you thinks, oh, yeah, this is how long it would take to do something like this. But actually, I think you're right. This came together really fast. Because we had a lot of people that cared, and it mattered, and it was important to us, and we prioritized it, and we made time for it. And so I'm really proud of everyone involved, and I'm proud of what we've accomplished and where we're going and where we're still headed.
Absolutely. One last question here. I forgot to ask this at the start of the hour, but Susan had mentioned hopefully having this place completed by the time we have the next Turkey Day Dash in November. Is that still feasible? Do you guys think that's still a reality that can be accomplished?
You know, I don't know that it's that possible. I certainly hope that we're, you know, open and built and serving people before the end of the year, but I don't know that I would promise that. I will say, though, that we are on track right now to award the bids for the contracts. I believe March 4th is going to be the date that happens. And then once we really, you know, put the shovel to the ground, I think we'll have a better and firmer idea to be able to tell the community exactly when we think this is going to be done, all things considered. So fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, toes crossed, everything else there as well. So, Jeremy, as always, thank you so much for taking a little time out of your day to come and update us on this, and congratulations on all the success. Can't wait to see how things shape up here in the next few months.
Absolutely, and thank you all for dealing with my intermittent signal earlier, and I hope to see everyone at the Regal Plum this Sunday.
That's right. This Sunday, it's Founders Day at the Regal Plum. And Jeremy, again, real fast, just clarifying, because somebody had actually texted me and asked me about this, the Founders Day celebration, not specifically the Southwick Founders Day celebration, this is honoring the Plum Place and Regal Plum, correct?
Correct. This is the Regal Plum's open house. There may well be other festivities and other things going on Sunday, but the Regal Plum will have an open house from 2 to 5 to celebrate Founders Day.
The founding of Plum Place.
Correct.
Very good. Jeremy, take it easy. We'll talk to you on Sunday. Thank you again so much for your time.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
You as well. That is Jeremy Dorsey, president of the board of Southwick House. A lot of excitement coming there. Possibly an exciting announcement coming next week in terms of a new executive director. But, hey, he said he was being coy, so you never know. It might be a little bit later than that. But we will wait for next week with great anticipation. Well, that's going to wrap up the Talk of Emporia here this Friday morning. Of course, Talk of Emporia will return on Tuesday, as we'll be speaking with representatives of the Lyon County Sheriff's Office, as they have a new program that has started up and was actually pretty much unveiled just yesterday. So we're excited to talk with them and some of the individuals recognized through this program. So make sure you tune in then at 11:06 on the Talk of Emporia Tuesday. As for right now, we will get into our 12 o'clock block of news and information shortly. We'll have a check of ABC News. Of course, Chuck Samples will have local news from the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, a check of sports headlines, the markets, and so much more, all coming up here on KVOE, live and local.
KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, live and local. The KVOE forecast from the TV 13 weather team, up next.